कृत्वादयं च जीवेषु कृत्वादयं च जीवेषु दत्वचाभयमात्मवान् मायात्मनं सह जगत् द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मनि चापि मां कृत्वा दयं च जीवेषु दत्वा चाभयमात्मवान् मायात्मनं सह जगत् द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मनि चापि मां. Yes, is there someone else who wants to chant? Jiveshu Dadva Chabayam Atmavan Mayatmanam Sahayaga Dakshyasyatmani Chapima. Translation, or we can go. Kritva, having shown dayam, compassion, cha, and jiveshu, taught living beings, datva, having given, cha, and abayam, assurance of safety. Atmavan, self-realized. Mayi, in me. Atmanam, yourself. Saha, jagat, along with the universe. Draksyasi, you will perceive. Atmani, in yourself. Cha, and api, also mam, me. Translation. It's a very, very nice verse, and I think you will very much appreciate the translation. Let me just ask, is this recorded on TV? Then where's the camera? Oh yeah, Hare Krishna, I want to greet all of you who are sitting before your computer. I must admit, I'm not a technical, very, very fixed up person. And I think it is a miracle of modern technology. But I see with my intuitive eyes, most probably Manditangi and Moksha Rupi and two restless children. Hare Krishna, may you be greeted. So, fine. Every one of you, please. Now be very attentive, also the computer persons. For a moment, focus entirely. Showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Gueve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatsyane Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Tu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's an instruction of Kapila Muni to his father Kadama. Kadama had been a yogi in the meditating deeply in the forest, where he was really only seen by some jungle animals. He wanted absolute distance from the material civilization. But everything became totally different when one day, at the high point of his meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared to him riding on the back of Garuda. Imagine you are chanting at the Adriatic Sea on your Japamala, a little distracted maybe, but all of a sudden you see from atop the mountains on the other side coming a mighty eagle, as big or as high as this temple room, with the Lord riding on his shoulders. Not always on his shoulder. Sometimes he either stands or he sits on Garuda. Kadama Muni was overwhelmed. Tears were in his eyes. And Vishnu came to him and said, "I want you to get married." This was the last thing which was in Kadama Muni's eyes or mind. He was in the jungle. He had made a conscious decision to remove himself from the ways of ordinary people. But the Lord had wanted to appear through him as an avatar, Kapila Muni. Therefore, he gave him this instruction. And Kadama Muni, who was a follower of the Lord, he was a great devotee. Otherwise, the Lord would not have chosen him to appear through him. Kadama Muni was accepting this, but he didn't know how this would happen. I mean, he was in the jungle. And then as he was thinking about the instruction of the Lord, that the Lord wanted to appear through him, he heard a procession move through the forest with big elephants. And he saw Svayambhuva Manu coming and saying, "I have received an order from the Lord that he wants to appear in the family of you and my daughter Devahuti." And the two men embraced and they cried. How wonderful our Lord is. He makes these arrangements. And they became son-in-law and, how do we say this? Father-in-law. Thank you. Son-in-law and father-in-law. And then the Lord, the marriage was made. And it was a very spiritual combination. And then the Lord appeared in the family of Kardama and Devahuti. First, daughters were born, and then the Lord appeared. Nine daughters were born first. And when the Lord had appeared, Kardama Muni, listen to this great personality, he asked the Lord, now my mission is completed, I have fulfilled the order, please give me permission to go back into the to my hermit life. And this was the plan of the Lord. The Lord wanted to show that everyone should move through four ashrams, and in the last stage, one should fearlessly wander in the world and help others in Krishna consciousness to develop. And he gave his father in parting, you know, as he was standing there and Kardama Muni was ready to leave, a very moving scene, was ready to leave his house. This great personality received a direct instruction from the Lord, which is the subject matter of today's Bhagavatam class. And it's a very, very deep instruction. And I really believe if you read the verse, yes, the number is here. It's 3:21-31. It's there. You can find it. It's in the bottom. Please do read it, because it's a text which you will most probably read many times in your lives, and which will empower and make you. Let me say, give you a very high mission in life. So I will just repeat it for you, but you have to promise me to listen carefully. So Kapila said to Kardama Muni, when they were just parting, show compassion to all living entities, and then you will attain self-realization. Give assurance of safety to all, and you will perceive your own self, self-realized, as well as all the universes situated in me. You will see how you are part of me, in other words. And you will also see how I am in you. This you will see by the simple practice of showing compassion. Prabhupada writes a very lengthy purport, which is longer than his normal than the other purports, and I will just be able to present a few jewels from this purport, because it's quite condensed and it's difficult to hear so many points by just listening to a read text. So here it is. The simple process of self-realization for every living entity is described here. Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. The first principle to be understood is that this world is a product of the Supreme Will. There is an identity of this world with the Supreme Lord. This identity is accepted in a misconceived way by the impersonalists. And then Prabhupada describes the impersonalistic view, which is pantheism. They say that you know, just like the pantheist, it's technical philosophy. But we want to have a go here. The difference between the impersonalist and the personalist is that the impersonalist does not accept the separate existence of the Lord, but the personalist accepts the Lord. He understands that although he distributes himself in so many ways, he has his own separate personal existence. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. I'm spread all over the universe in my impersonal form. Everything is resting on me, but I am not present. No? It is said that a person who goes to the temple of the Lord, like the Ljubljana temple, and worships with great devotion the deities, but who does not show sympathy to people in general or show respect to other devotees, is considered to be a third-class devotee. He's on the third level. The second-class devotee is he who is merciful and compassionate to the fallen soul. The second-class devotee is always cognizant of his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. He is not satisfied that only he himself is a devotee, but he tries to distribute the knowledge of devotional service to everyone. There are many devotees of the Lord who faced many risks in distributing the devotional service of the Lord to people in general. That should be done. So Prabhupada will now explain to us what is necessary as an inner attitude to go to the people and be compassionate to them. I think Giridhari has to be in the restaurant and give so many people prasadam. Lalita Madhava is organizing festivals and sankirtan and says to be so much with people and be so outgoing. Chaitanya Rasa organizes with his wife many wonderful programs and organizes the yoga expo together with Daya Goranga, Madhavi Saki. Great preaching, boss. But you have to be sure you do it from this platform of compassion for others. And now what do you need to fix in you to be compassionate? Listen to this. The second class devotee is always cognizant of his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. He therefore makes friendships with devotees of the Lord and acts compassionately towards the general public in teaching them devotional service. And he refuses to cooperate or associate with non-devotees. No faith, no more in non-devotees. As long as one is not compassionate to people in general in his devotional service to the Lord, he is a third-class devotee. The first class devotee gives assurance to every living being that there is no fear of this material existence. He says, let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nescience of material existence. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he's convinced that he's protected by the Lord. Fear itself is afraid of the Lord. Therefore, what has he to do with fearfulness? To award fearlessness, it's now compassion, to the common man is the greatest act of charity. There are many, many more subtle points in this purport, and I would really request you to be kind to yourself and read this, because Prabhupada says this is the simple process of self-realization. Don't we all love these simple things which work? This is one of them. What you do in this process is explained by Srila Prabhupada. You have to rise in your consciousness a little bit and come to this level where you understand first of all that I'm an eternal soul. I'm not this body really. I'm an eternal soul, a servant of the Lord. This is my identity. And others are also. So we are connected with each other through the Lord. And let me now compassionately take care that they are, that others are well. Let us think of the welfare of others. And the moment you do this, my dear devotees, this practice will bring you immediately out of your own little mentally constructed world, of the ego-constructed world, and will really put you in tune with what is, with the eternal spiritual reality. It's a practice which is so powerful that even the impersonalistic Buddhists have recognized this practice of showing compassion to others and not even killing an ant. There's a German author called Heinrich Harrer who went to Tibet and he was, I read part of his book before I wrote The Way of the Great Departure. I wanted to see how can I write about the Himalayas and the teachings in the Himalayas. And I had heard that this is a book where I could get some information, just as a writer, you know, for writing skills. And I had read there was a scene he saw, and as a European he couldn't at all understand it. There were some monks of the Potala is the place where the Dalai Lama lives in Lhasa, I think he must be knowing, and they were making a new road, but then they stopped doing the road, and this German who was there wanted to know, why have you stopped making the road? Road is important for traffic, no? And they said, it's not possible to continue making the roads because ants are living there. And we would have to kill the ants. It's not possible for us. We have to wait, either the ants go, or we have to maybe make another road, you know, around the place. And he was surprised. I read this when I was very young. I think I was around 14, and it made a deep impression on me. And when I had become a devotee, I decided to ask about this the Buddhistic high Buddhistic monks. And my chance came when I lived for 2 weeks in Dharamshala, the residence of the Dalai Lama. I was waiting for His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, to make an interview for a book on which I'm working since a long time. And But he had duties in America to do, so I had to wait. And I remember I decided to interview a few high-ranking Buddhist monks. And I was with one Lama, and I asked him, how do you always remember that you are eternal? I remember this, that you are eternal soul. And it was amazing. He got up. I thought maybe I've asked a respectless question. He got up, he went to a curtain, and he drew open the curtain, and there was a human skeleton. Hare Krishna. And he was well versed in English, and he said, that's how I remember. I remember one day my body will be like that. And therefore I focus on those things which are always there. And then I asked, I was highly intrigued. I liked his answer. And then I said, but how do you realize it now, where we are so much trapped in the bodily consciousness? And he gave me the same answer as Kapila gave here, only he did not give the theistic version, because they believe that everything is ultimately void. It's a type of refined impersonalistic philosophy. But he said something, you know, I am practicing the teachings of compassion. And this is what we teach to our young students. By being compassionate towards others and working for the welfare of everyone, even an ant. I had my ant story, my explanation of my ant story. Even an ant, we come to a platform where we do not identify any longer with the ego. And once the ego is destroyed, illusion falls. So Prabhupada also says here, the simple process of self-realization for every living entity, yeah, even if he is a Buddhist, is described here. That a simple process of self-realization is compassion. Hare Krishna. This floor is a very loud floor, and I hear every one of you moving and breathing even. Now, where everything is peaceful, I will ask you a question. How do you think can you practice being more compassionate? You look at me, and I look at you. Let me ask the question in another way. What do you consider to be an obstacle of being compassionate? Self-centeredness,
laziness.
Also, yeah, laziness. Could you explain laziness a little?
We are apathetic.
Yeah.
It's maybe another aspect of self-centeredness.
Yeah, and we will not go the extra meter. Oh yeah. Oh, now I have to go to these people. And it's not so easy. They are not like my friends, you know, and they don't appreciate me. We are not willing. In other words, it's a little hard to be compassionate, and sometimes we are not ready to sacrifice this. I find these two things, self-centeredness. We think about our own self so much, and laziness very much connected. And I thank both of you very much for this answer. because I think it's real. Now I have to go to these people, but look at him. I mean, we are really from a different, I have a different education. I have different ideas about life. And now I meet this person who is an ultra conservative person. And I am more on the other side in my views. And he's so simple. Most probably he has read 50 books and not 5,000 in his life, and and he may not think so. He may not be able to consider so many points, and I really will have to talk very, very basic. And anyways, I've seen this when I have visited your country, Slovenia. Maybe now. I don't know, 40 times, 50 times in this life. And I have, as I am, I've made nature walks, and I've looked carefully at the people because I'm very interested in everything. I perceive a lot around me, not everything. I've studied also, how are the Slovenians? Is there something, some personality trait, how they are a little different from the Croatians, maybe. I have studied this very carefully. I have seen that certain things, which I don't feel very comfortable to say something in general about people, because we are all individuals. There is not the Slovenian. There are, how many million? 2 million Slovenians. But I have seen things which I have seen in the Swedish people. I compare, they are most similar in my mind to the Swedish people. Some common things which they share. They are very together, totally different than the Serbians. That I have seen, and I have also seen they are a little bit keeping for themselves, their own little houses, their well-constructed little worlds, and so on. And it is well-constructed little worlds, I should say, if you compare it with the Bosnian houses, where there are sometimes no walls between the rooms because everyone lives as a herd, as a tribe, and so on, sharing everything with everyone else. Very, very amazing culture. And they live in their own well-constructed little worlds. And I think philosophically, because they're good people, they will like compassion, but I think it is a challenge for them, just for the Germans, it is a challenge to go really out of your comfort zone and take care of others, because you will have to hear his story, his worries. You will have to, when he opens up a little and looks for shelter, because remember, you want to give him fearlessness, that's, and security, assurance of safety, Prabhupada says. And I would like to tell you this morning a little story at the end before I leave, which I think will give you courage to be compassionate, which will give you inner strength to be compassionate, which will give you a tool in your hand, which gives you a good, which may change your perspective on reality even. Hare Krishna. This is something which I really would request you to pay a little attention to. I want to tell you this morning the story of the stone palm. Once there was a guru. He would give every day, in the evening when it was a little cool, instructions to his disciples and whoever wanted to come and sit for his lectures. So there were two types of people in his lectures, his disciples and the people from the village where he lived, who were mostly farmers who had worked hard on the field during the day. He would talk, and he would talk beautifully. He was a wise man. He had seen life, and he was a good man. He would talk until the stars in the sky would rise. And one such evening, and his lectures were always given, I should say, under a strong palm tree. He somehow preferred to sit under that tree, and it was known the lecture will be this evening under the tree, like it is every evening. So, a very moving story for me to tell you. Once, one of his disciples asked him a question which brought tears into the eyes of the old man. The disciple asked, Guru Maharaj, how can we practice spiritual life even in the face of external difficulties? The old man was electrified when the guru was electrified when he heard this question. He said, please explain your question. What do you think of when you ask this question? The disciple said, sometimes life is very hard for me. I'm also still working on a field, and sometimes the harvest doesn't come, and there's a storm, and then I'm worried, I'm afraid, and I'm disturbed and upset. And then it's very difficult for me to concentrate on spiritual life and on my japa and all the other things I do. So how in the face of difficulties can I pray? Guru said, have you understood his question? And everyone nodded, yes, when it's difficult, it's also difficult to practice spiritual life. Now listen very carefully, said the guru. I will tell you a personal story. I was not good, and I still feel somewhere in me is that person who was not good. When I was young, like many of you, I was selfish. I was very self-centered. I only thought what is good for me, and I was sometimes aggressive towards others. At that time, I lived here in your village, and I would go into the forest. Forest, Guru Maharaj? Where's the forest? Yeah, there was a forest at that time. Now the forest is no more. Only one resident of that forest stands tall. It's this tree. And he explained, there was a forest of palm trees, and he said, I would walk in the forest of palm trees. We would get dates from the trees. It would be one of our sources of where we lived, the dates. And there was one palm tree, he was very young, who was very strong and who was very green. His dates were the best dates. His fruits, which he shared with others, were good. And I, who was at that time so aggressive and so egoistic, I became envious of the palm tree. I thought, I am so miserable with my lifestyle. Even a simple tree is more happy than me. Look at this palm tree. He's so green and so strong. And there's an atmosphere of well-being is there. Why am I miserable and even a tree is good? I thought for 2 weeks and then I had an idea. Now the guru became intense and everyone was going, oh, what idea? I took a kamina. Kamina? Kamen. I took a kamen. Kamen means stone. I took a kamen. And because it was a young palm tree, not much bigger than me, I brought the stone up and placed it into the crown of the tree. And then I visited the tree to see what he would do next. And my plan worked. He began to bend over, trying to carry it and not go down on the ground. But each week, he became a little bit less strong. He lost the struggle. His leaves became yellow. It was clear he was fighting against a slow coming death. My plan worked. I wanted to kill the tree, but slowly. The first year he went down. The second year he went much further down. The third year he went even more further down. But then something happened. The fourth year he started to pick up strength. The fifth year he went back into shape. The sixth year with great strength. Endeavor, he grew up and he grew every year a little stronger. And then the storm came. The storm was terrible. First we saw sand coming from the desert in the direction of our village. Then some of the houses were half covered. I ran into the forest. The storm was raging in the forest and uprooted each single palm tree except for one. This is Sri Palm Tree behind me. Because this tree, in order to handle the difficulty which I had put on him, had to grow strong roots. Yes, roots. How do we say roots in the sweet Slovenian language? Yes, this word is the right word. This tree had to grow strong roots, and therefore it could survive a storm. The other palm trees who had no difficulties to up till then, had not developed such strong roots and therefore they were easily uprooted. Whereas this one, who had to deal with difficulties, had become strong by them. Another guru said, look at the tree and carefully look into the crown of the tree. Everyone looked up. And they all saw it. There was a stone. This is a story of compassion. The story of how difficulties can make you strong. And to be a compassionate friend of others may be in the beginning difficult when we want to remain in our own little self-constructed world, when we do not want to go that extra step, when we are lazy at times and weak, and we want to just stay in our temple, as Prabhupada writes here. It also says, it is said that a person who goes to the temple of the Lord and worships with great devotion, but who does not show sympathy to people in general, is considered to be third class. And you just stay in the temple and live your temple life, then that is not so good. So I really request you to become strong by compassion. That will make you give good roots. Please read this very, very amazing purport of Srila Prabhupada. Really, it's one of those purports which I read again and again and get great strength for my own spiritual life and my own attempt to be a servant of others. And it's very good. Do not run away from the difficulties which will come. Embrace the stone. You will grow stronger, like the palm tree. This, of course, is possible, and I come back to the lectures which you have heard. When you grow your own tree of life, remember, your roots must be there, strong roots. What were the roots? Faith. We must put our faith deeply into what? In our sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. We are part of Krishna. Then we can grow strong and also be compassionate to others. Compassion requires inner strength. And the story of the palm tree, who became strong in the face of difficulties, is just such a wonderful illustration for this. So I wanted to explain this story to you for your pleasure and your pleasure, hearing pleasure, but also for your own practice, that you extract the wisdom from it and then embrace even whatever difficulties come in compassion. It's a simple process of self-realization. I saw at the Jabarit Kirtan retreat, there was one devotee who had difficulties in the first days because everything was just so different than his ordinary life, you know. There were some, there's a psychological word for this, just now I don't know what it is, it doesn't matter. Some difficulties to get into the different atmosphere. Would love to remember this word for you, but I can't. It's only a word, you know. And I told him, why don't you... And he was lamenting, it's so difficult, it's so hard, and I'm missing my comfortable home, and... I don't know. And tomorrow is the 64 hours day. How will I survive that? You know, like this, he was lamenting. I said, are you willing to listen to the answer and do what I tell you? He said, I don't know before you have told me. Then I said, but will you give it a try? Yes. I will not tell you before you, if you're not willing to try at least. Then I said, do one thing. I will not explain anything because I know it works. Go and serve prasadam. And make sure when you put the preparations on the plates that you give exactly what the other person might like. And also the quantity, how much he likes. Just think of the other person. Do this and afterwards sit on the beach for 1 hour and then come to me. What does this have to do with my problem? You have said you will try. Try and we talk afterwards. He came afterwards to me. He was just beaming and he said, what just happened? I'm blissful. I like this retreat very much. I'm 64 rounds, no problem. And I said, what happened is very simple. You had to be compassionate towards others. You had to think of others. How much rice or he is. He is a person who wants to be a little slim. Most probably he wants first a small portion. Then when he likes it, he will anyways come for more. So, you know, you had to think of another person. You had to walk out of your own self-constructed little world. And on the beach you could reflect a little bit what happened, or it could sink in a little bit deeper. And Prabhupada says this is the simple process of self-realization. You have to get out of your world by being compassionate. And I give you a tip. Do it really. Don't hesitate to go a little too far in this in the beginning. But afterwards, find a little bit your balance between your own roots, your own nourishment, and then taking care of others. And you have to find a balance because you could overdo it. In other words, and then you would become exhausted after some time. We all need a little time where we recharge our batteries. Good. Hare Krishna. Will you read this purport?
Yeah.
Good. So, thank you. You can write the number. I also can't remember numbers. And then you can just... Numbers. There. Good. So, I want to end here. I thank you very, very much for being so hospitable. Really, I wish you all the best for your various plans. I have heard from Ananta Prabhu that you are really thinking of many things you would like to do to spread more Krishna consciousness from this temple. I wish you all the best, lots of blessings. And don't forget, on the altar you have most probably the most beautiful deities in this universe. They are really amazing. Every time the altar goes open, you know, five personalities, not just two, and all effulgent and ready to give the mercy. That's amazing. Good. Are there any short questions? Ananta Prabhu.
Regarding compassion, usually when we talk about compassion, usually we always have first in mind, okay, other people out there who are suffering, and like Jivadoya and something like that, in that context. How can this principle be applied within the devotee community?
Compassion towards devotees, yeah. Yeah. I will give you a very practical answer, not so philosophical, because I think the philosophical principles hold true to both. because everyone is living entity. But see, in order to practice anything, you need to give it a practical a forum where the practice can take place. I would like to give you a little example. I need to do physical exercises to remain alive. So I need to give it a practical forum. That is, I have my mat, because I know I will not do it without the mat. It's somehow the mind goes mat, you know, and becomes mat consciousness. Because it's also easiest, it doesn't slide, you have a firm position, and it has its advantages. And a special time. You know, when I know it's either in the morning, or in the morning I often like to read and chant, and it's in the noontime it works well for me. So if you want compassion to be manifested in the devotee community, you need to give a forum to it. Otherwise it will never happen. And it will just remain a concept, but the concept has to land somewhere. And I really feel very strongly that this is, I've called it the community of care, but in Chopati, where really it all started for our movement, is the counselor system. In England it is known as the mentorship system, with which I'm very much connected. This was written for the mentors who apply this system. We found out that a lot of talk has been going on compassion, but it's not always manifested. But if you have something like an understanding amongst the devotees that we should take care of other devotees, and you have a frame in which you do it, like every Saturday they meet, or they have persons with whom they can consult about the different questions of life and so on, then if that is done on the basis of this value, compassion or dāya, then it can work. In Slovenia we have started this system, by the way, and there are about, I don't know, 9 or 10 or 11 devotees who are available for consultations and spiritual coaching, you could say, or spiritual counseling. I think that that's very, very good. I also really feel these counselors or mentors, it's good if we train them so that they can really perform well. And for instance, it must be clear to them that they do this on the level of not duty, but compassion. You know, they must know what is that compassion and how valuable it is for their lives to be compassionate and so on. That's something one needs to train, a compassion training, that they are able to perform well and really that everyone feels the benefit of this. Then it will be easy. But this is a system I would recommend all of you in your wonderful community, just to be a little bit more careful about it. Compassion means you have to stop judging so easily, you know. Ah, he didn't come to the morning program. Most probably he is a sahaji, or you know, or whatever. I don't know. You have to be a little bit free from the judgment. I see this is in spiritual communities, unfortunately widespread, this judging others according to a standard which is a pre-given one, then you have to just on an individual platform just learn to associate nicely, make friendship with devotees, and be of help for devotees, of inspiration. For instance, if you give a lecture, you have to think, is this useful for your audience, or is it just useful for, you have to just do your duty, it's done? Is there something for the audience there? You have to train yourself a little bit to go that extra step, to think of the other's welfare. Can they understand? Is it valuable for them? They have given you 1 hour to listen. Is it a wasted time or is it a good time for them? Like this. I have to think. You have to just practice it. Breathe compassion. Talk compassion. Feel compassion. And that needs practice. And you can start right, I mean, if we would now be in a workshop, I would tell you to turn to your neighbor and think of ways how to be more compassionate. But for time, you need to do millions of services, and we also need to start our travels. I would really say, Ananta's question, every one of you, try to work a little compassion. If it helps you, make a compassion day, Sunday. You know, in Russia, there are devotees that you are laughing. One, I have to ask Banu Nandini, because she just came from there, from the Ukraine. Is it one day they go to the people who are handicapped and... They organize and do what do they do? Welfare activities, just to train compassion. If you are a member of that preaching group, you go once and you go out to the people and you really care for them. You go into the hospital and visit the dying person and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'm here for you. And they do this to practice this. You need to be practical, not so much in the head always. Do it, no? It's not mundane welfare. Mundane would be to just give some food and like this. Spiritual welfare is to talk about God and Krishna consciousness. It's compassion, spiritual compassion, no? Because sometimes maybe... someone who hears the lecture might misunderstand that this is mundane welfare, where we have our internal discussions about it, and it's all a hot subject, you know. It's not that you have... If you think it is like this, you have not understood this purport, and you must read the purport, you know. It is learning to be compassionate in a... and give fearlessness from material existence by assuring everyone, let us live in Krishna consciousness. Let us live in God consciousness. And see, this is a spiritual solution to material problems. Don't do it only... they do this in this frame, but we do it to everyone. We want also to the rich people. They need our compassion just as much. But I would say, do it in the community where you say, well, imagine something like this. I know it's crazy. I know we will not do it, but just imagine it. On each Sunday, everyone gives everyone else a present. I don't recommend it. It would make a difference. Oops, I'm getting, someone gave me a Kindle. This is where you read books with. Now, I don't recommend this. I just said imagine it. What I recommend is imagine now this. On each Sunday, when the community meats for Sunday feast. It will come. Today is Sunday. Every one of you makes an extra effort to sit with a congregational member. You are temple... No, we have both temple devotees and congregational devotees. You sit with someone and you try to help them progress in Krishna consciousness. Consciously. How are you doing? Tell me. I'm most interested. What? You're interested in me? Yes. That was the morning lecture. You just do it because of the lecture? No. I'm interested. Yes, I remember in my life also a situation, and I would like to share how I dealt with the situation and solved it. You know, imagine, what an atmosphere. My God, the person would leave the temple and think, Lubyana Mandir Ki Jai. He would leave like this. I got some Lubov here. No? Some Lubov, do we say Lubov? Love and affection. What a compassion. You need to practice it. And it's easy. It just means to care for someone. You don't need a system, but a system helps us to organize that everyone is taken care of. But you can start anytime with it. It's independent of. It is an attitude which comes from inside. So I'm really over time. I thank you very much. All the best and see you very soon again. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.